welcome out to the D2D podcast with the Golden Door deep dive segment, where I pick the brains of all the top 1% earners, everyone that's won a Golden Door this year, trying to get them all on the podcast. So we're stoked to have with us Connor. What's your last name, Connor?
Laughlin.
Connor Laughlin. Dude, I'm sorry I did not learn that beforehand, but hey, man, we're super excited to have you on. How are you, dude? Give me the update.
Yeah, doing real good. We just wrapped up the 2023 selling season because we kind of primarily operate in the summer months, obviously doing pest control. So just diving back into recruiting, training, just getting ready for 2024, man.
I love it. So you're keeping nice and busy. When did you officially end the summer?
End of September. So it was literally the last day of September I stopped, just because technically – starting in October now is considered 2024 season. So they kind of stop adding up all the stats for 2023 at that point. So I just immediately started diving into recruiting and training at that point.
Awesome, man. Well, you had a big summer. Walk me through the stats. How much revenue did you put up? Everyone, Connor's in pest control with Aptive. So yeah, how much revenue did you do? How many accounts did that look like? Walk me through the stats.
Yeah, so revenue, $695,000. Did that just about 5 months of selling. In terms of service number of accounts, it was a little over 650. So my average like contract value, a little over 1,000. Yeah, that was my personal stats. And I did like a little over 3 million in my downline.
Wow. So definitely, I've been saying this on a lot of the podcasts, but definitely bad summer to be a bug. And you sold out in North Carolina, is that correct?
Yeah, Charlotte. Yep.
All right. Well, cool. Dude, Connor, walk me through your progression. How'd you get in the industry? How'd you get to Golden Door? Lay into it.
Good question. So I started back in 2017. I had just graduated from college. I did exercise science and nutrition, so no relation to this at all, but essentially my brother got me into it. He was in medical device sales, and one of the managers here had been reaching out to him for years trying to get him in, and he got him in 2017, and he was leaving that to go do this. And for me, seeing it from the outside in, like, he had the guaranteed six figures job, all the bells and whistles, like the sexy job, right, that everyone kind of strives for, leaving that to go do door to door. And, you know, a lot of people have their stereotypes of just door to door in general. I had those too before I got into it. So I was like, bro, are you stupid? Like, why are you leaving that to go do this? So that obviously like caught my attention, and I knew there had to be something there, but I trusted my brother, right? So I didn't have too much doubt. I didn't really have anything lined up, so I was like, screw it, I'll try it with you. Long story short, first summer, 2017, I sold for like 3.5 months up in Pittsburgh. Broke the rookie record at the time, which that's been smashed since then, so not too impressive now. Made $117,000 that first summer, and I was only up from there, dude. At that point, I was hooked. And I kind of told you this before we even jumped on the podcast, but you know, I didn't really think I was cut out for it. I was extremely introverted, extremely shy, really had no work experience, nothing sales related. So coming in, like, not only did I not think I was kind of built for it, but even my family, dude, other than my brother bringing me in, they had all their doubts and negativities about it. And really, I just used that as fuel, dude. I lit a fire under my ass and I was like, let's get it. You know, I have people to prove wrong, and I have my own personal goals. So I just went, you know, full in, all in on it. And it's only been up from there, dude.
I love that. So like traditionally, you didn't come from that kind of personality type. You weren't like you said, you were kind of more of an introvert. What was it that made you buy in?
To be honest, one was not having anything super lined up once I graduated. Because with what I studied, man, you basically have to go back to school or you're going to be like doing jobs that people can do without a degree. So didn't have a lot stacked up there. And then again, my brother coming into this, Now he's like the sales guy. He's got it going for him. He's crushed every sales job he did up to this point. The fact that he like saw it in me, I kind of like it was one of those things where I trusted his judgment more than my own at the time. Wouldn't say I was like lost per se, but I needed to find direction, if that makes sense. So I did this more as a starting point. I didn't think it was going to be a long-term thing. I thought it'd be one summer and done, but I freaking crushed it. So there's no reason to walk away. And fast forward 7 years later, I'm a division manager now, so it's been working out real well.
I love that. A lot of guys, I feel like a lot of brand new guys kind of want to be coming out of the gates hot, but they don't. Maybe they crash and burn that first year. What is it that you feel like was different with you that made it so that you could go out and crush it that first year?
Not having a plan B. I'm sure you guys hear that a lot. Like, don't a plan B is basically setting up for failure, right? Like you're planning to fail. So I did not have a plan B. This was plan A and the only plan I had. And I basically set die goals where it's like, I'm going out there and I'm not stopping until I hit at least this. Like, no matter what, if I have to stay out longer than I want to, I will. And when you have that, you won't make excuses. You're not going to have fallbacks, and you're in it. So for me, it was all in or nothing. So when I got out there in Pittsburgh, I was laser focused, man, and there was nothing that could throw me off. I don't talk about this a lot, but I was in a 5-year relationship at the time, and she basically gave me an ultimatum and was like, "It's your job or me," and I was like, "See you later." And that's not, it wasn't me being hard-headed. It was one of those things where it's like I had my die goals, I laid it out, she knew that, and then threw that on me right before summer. But also it's like, why would I want to be with someone that's going to put an ultimatum out like that and make me choose that over a potential career? So again, that was just another fire lit under my ass, and I used it as fuel. So yeah, I was all in. That's the easiest way I can answer that question. It was like, there's no backup plan.
Dude, and that's nuts that she gave you that ultimatum. I mean, it does kind of prove like you really did burn your boats.
Yeah.
It really wasn't a plan B. For everyone that's listening to this, especially if you're brand new, look at it like it's a long-term thing. Take the chance. Ask yourself the question, what if? Because if you burn your boats, if you go all in, especially from the beginning and crush it, like I love stories like that where it's just like clearly you believed in yourself right from the start and it led you to something amazing. And it's okay if it's not like that. Sometimes it's a progression. I just did an interview with James Fox from Grit, and basically he's just like, yeah, dude, it was just like a slow build, 6 years coming for the Golden Door. So sometimes it just happens like that. But do whatever you can to burn your boats as early as possible. Get rid of the plan B. moving forward, so you killed it your rookie year. You've been crushing it ever since. What particularly about this past summer made you want to do a Golden Door?
So, a couple of things. Number one is when I hit my first Golden Door, that was 2 years ago, 2021. Had a pretty rough year the year after, summer after, I should say, because I had surgery, and that could be a crutch, it can be an excuse, whatever. I didn't hit my personal goals that year. And people didn't have to say it, but I kind of felt like people thought that I just didn't have it in me anymore. And that wasn't maybe my goal anymore, and that's fine. So I did it kind of to prove myself, but also just potentially any naysayers around me. But also, you guys upped the requirements for specifically pass. It used to be 550. And I hit like 620 that year, but then when I heard it was 650, I was like, well, technically I didn't hit that 2 years ago. So now I need to go get it and make it official. So it was kind of those two things combined, having a rough year the year after I hit it, and then also you guys upping the requirements, and I just felt like I had to.
Absolutely. And I dude, I love it when it's like that too, where it's kind of like you're both proving to yourself that you can do it, and also like giving a middle finger to the naysayers.
Yep, for
And it kind
sure.
of feels that feels good.
It does, man. Always got to have that chip on your shoulder.
Always, always. And it's interesting too, because there were a lot of people that didn't believe in you at first, which.
Oh, dude, my parents were pissed. Not only just at me, but my brother for bringing me into this. Just because they knew, they're like, "What are you doing? You know, he wasn't studying for this. Like, this wasn't his original path. You know, they can be pretty old school." People in that generation, but also just how I was as a person, being very introverted, very shy, they thought he was setting me up for failure. But in my mind, I was like, it's 3 to 4 months. Even if I go out and do terrible, like, how far behind in life can I actually get? Worst case, I'm gonna learn a lot of stuff. You know, I'm gonna build this level of grit. I'm gonna build communications, whatever, man. They're like, I'm gonna come out an absolute dog after doing something like this. So, regardless of the money, I was in it just to grow, man, as a person.
Love it. And then I take it, what's your current position? You have some guys under you, correct?
Yeah, so I officially hit divisional manager this year. Did just over 3 mil in my downline. So,
Wow, congratulations.
thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a pretty big accomplishment. So, shifting a little bit into leadership, I did this as this last podcast and I kind of loved it. What call outs do you have? Who of your guys do you think has what it takes to hit Golden Door next year?
Dude, there's a good amount. I'd say there's probably 5 to 10 reps I think could do it. You asking for names right now?
I'm asking for names. We're calling them out. We're putting this on the record.
Cool. For sure, I know Chris Agard. He's one of my top leaders underneath me. I know he can do it. Josh Nikolic, another one of my top leaders. I know he can. A lot of the rookies this past summer hit team leader. They hit, you know, manager numbers, if you will. We have to look at a chart here, but I know that Slade could do it. Slade Sikora. I know that Dodge Adams could do it. I know Vihan Sirti could do it. Dude, the list goes on and on. But yeah, there's like 5 to 10 for sure. I'm just gonna put it out
Okay.
there. All my rookies that hit team leader this year, you know who you are, you can hit Golden Door.
That's amazing. So, yeah, if you were one of the guys on his list, take notes. It's time to get to work. We're gonna see you here on the podcast and on the DDD Con stage next year. But dude, what an incredible blessing, for your guys that you won a Golden Door. You're truly leading from the front. I mean, it's impactful. If you want to empower your guys, there's no better way to do it than to have an accomplishment like Golden Door. Because there's not really anything like this. I mean, within the companies or whatever, there might be some stuff, but like a Golden Door that's recognized across industries, that's recognized by the general door-to-door community, is pretty incredible to have. So for you specifically, I know Golden Door means a lot. Obviously, it means a lot to have for your guys as an example. It meant a lot to just kind of prove it to yourself, to give the middle finger to the naysayers. What else does Golden Door mean to you?
It's again, all it really is to me is proving myself, because I still have that chip on my shoulder from that initial year coming in of just everyone doubting me. And I actually was one of those. I doubted myself a little bit. So proving it to myself, but also just to you guys in the industry. Like, I love the standards and the bars always going up every year. Because we just see every year that there's more potential, there's more that people have in them. So I just, it's always keeping that personal bar high, but also meeting that bar for the industry as a whole. And just
Absolutely.
setting that motivation for other people to go and do it too, dude. I love seeing everybody win.
Yeah, I love that too. Let me ask you this too. When it comes to big accomplishments, selling big numbers, getting a golden door, If you could go back and talk to your rookie self, how would you tell him how you could streamline the process?
Love that. Honestly, if I can narrow it down to one thing, it's discipline and consistency. That's it, man. It's sales in general is a numbers game. Obviously, you can kind of warp those numbers and increase the odds just based on training and getting your closing ratio up and just sharpening the saw in general. But I would think the number one thing is numbers. But to get a little deeper in that, just discipline, consistency when it comes to your schedule, every day. Like, without a doubt, I've never swayed from my schedule. Like, once the summer starts, this is my start time. This is my end time. This is when I take lunch. This is, I wouldn't say this is the number of doors I hit, because that's going to change on a number of factors, but start time, end time, time on doors in general, like, none of that will ever sway. So I would say just maximizing the numbers game. Hit as many doors as you can, as many decision makers as you can, and obviously sharpening the saw by just training. So numbers, if I could narrow it down to one thing, like, do not sway from a schedule, a routine, your hours and number of doors hit, if that's a thing.
Yeah. And it's really a powerful principle, because, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, because basically if you have your schedule set in stone, that's your standard. You raise yourself to the standard, right? So, and especially a lot of guys, they struggle with like decision fatigue. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if they don't have the preset decision made that I'm going to be knocking at X time every day, then it's kind of like, oh, well, like, what time am I going to get started? Like, or maybe they get out to area and they're sitting in their car for a little bit. And basically what that ultimately like accumulates into is that decision fatigue. And, you know, one of my mentors, Doug Cartwright, and I've said this on the podcast before, fatigue will make a coward out of anyone. So yep. We can eliminate that. We can get on a good schedule. So what does that schedule look like for you?
You talking about like my actual hours and everything?
Yeah, hours. Like, what's your morning routine? Like, let's get into the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, I mean, to add on to what you just said too, before I kind of jump into that, is the only decisions that you should be having to like think about and make on a daily basis should be obviously your pitch and who you're talking to and what you're saying in response. You know, obviously you have a script to follow, but sometimes you got to wing it and you got to you know, warp it to that person. That's really all you should be thinking about every day is your pitch. Other than that, you should not have to think about when you start, when you stop, when you're taking lunch, when you go to the gym, when you're going to bed. All that stuff should be on autopilot. And like you said, that will minimize decision fatigue. So, but yeah, my schedule, I mean, I'm usually up by 6:37 in the gym shortly after. I usually just go fasted. I don't really eat before the gym. Get either a smoothie or a quick breakfast in after, hit the morning meeting, get everyone trained up, prepped up for the day. Out on doors, this is a little controversial. Some people think starting earlier is better. I try to follow a schedule where I know, even with like a 10-minute break in the middle of the day, I will not burn out. So I'm usually by like noon. If I'm on the doors by noon, it's going to be a big day. But if I get out even earlier, like 11 or 10, watch out. It's going to be a huge day. But that's the schedule. If I start before noon, and I'm going up till 9 o'clock each day. That can be a little hard to maintain while leading when you're doing that for 6, 7 days a week. Like, it can get to you a little bit. So I've found that sweet spot where I can maintain it without swaying at any point and without any fatigue, really. So noon, I take a quick lunch around maybe 4:30 or 5, like 10 minutes. Just haul it down in my car. I don't even leave the neighborhood. Back out by 5:15, 5:30, prime time. And I go up until at least dark, but I would say 9 o'clock is minimum. As many days, I'll go up till 10. You know, you just, depending on how it's going, how many comebacks you have, that's where I leave leeway, is how late I go. But when I start, it's pretty on point every day.
Love it. I love it. And you're hitting the gym every morning?
Oh, I don't miss it, no. I have to.
Yeah.
I don't feel right if I'm not in the gym.
Absolutely. Because you were an exercise science major, right?
Yeah,
This
so
is
actually.
kind of something unique is, I mean, all sales guys are gym bros, but like, it's fun having seen, there's been a handful of Golden Door winners that have their degrees, actually, which is kind of
Yeah.
interesting. But I want to speak a little bit more to like exercise science specifically, and like the role of physical health on the doors. Like what do you believe is the role that physical health plays in when you're knocking?
And it's huge. Mental sharpness, you're going to hear that probably the most, but I can attest to it. The days that I don't work out, that's when I can feel a little bit of haziness and brain fog coming in. But it's really just comes back to that, like you were saying, decision fatigue. Like I don't even want to have to think about going to the gym. If I miss it, if I'm going to go later that night, then I got more decisions to make. I don't need that. So it's like, I'm there regardless. I don't care if I feel good or not when I wake up, or if I feel sore, like I'm in there. Doesn't mean you got to do a full-on workout, but I'm in there, I'm moving, I'm getting some sort of, pump, if you will. And it's also like it's a self-confidence thing too. I don't know about other people, but when I hit the gym and then I'm out on the doors, I just feel good, because you know that you look good. If you look good, you're going to feel good. You feel good, you're going to sell good. It all comes down to that confidence and how it kind of exudes in your pitch. So there's also that factor to it. So mental clarity, also feeling good, looking good, and then just your overall confidence, man. That'll exude in your pitch.
Absolutely. And it's also like, the element of doing something hard, doing something uncomfortable. Like that's how you, if you're starting your day with like putting yourself through that much deliberate discomfort, to where you're growing, you're literally breaking yourself down so you can be built up stronger. It's going to translate to your everyday life. It's going to give you that big boost of confidence. I've seen that in my life. I know you've seen it in yours, obviously, and other top performers. Exact same story. Shifting over into the summer specifically. So you're from North Carolina originally, right?
I grew up in Raleigh, yeah, and then Charlotte's where I'm at now, so not far apart.
Okay, so you're kind of like hometown hero a little bit, knocking in where you're at. What was the summer like for you then? Was it crazy amount of switchovers? Was it, I don't know, what was that kind of like?
Yeah, here in Charlotte, yeah, I would say it's extremely competitive. Yeah, there's a lot of switchovers. Definitely a lot of DIYers too, just because the bugs are so bad. So yeah, it's a lot of competition and a lot of objections in general, when it comes to like doing it themselves. So yeah, you're battling there, but that's been everywhere, to be honest. Like we don't open a market unless it's somewhere that's needed. It's in high demand. If it's high demand, there's going to be a lot of companies and a lot of people that do it themselves. So that really doesn't faze me at all. But the same time, if you knock enough doors and talk to enough people, you're gonna find every single day people that don't have a company and people that don't do it themselves. A lot of people call them lay down sales, like they need it anyways, and you're just there to kind of take that order, like you're an order taker.
Yeah.
So if you, that's where I believe the numbers game is huge, man. Like definitely get really good at switchovers, definitely get good at do-it-yourselfers and just objections in general. But I think if you were to go out and hit 200 doors, get 50 to 75 decision makers, a good portion of that, you're going to catch people that just are just easier sales because they already needed it. They haven't got a chance to get to it yet. Whatever the case may be, like you got to get the laydowns in there too, man. Those are really important sales.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially in the name of momentum and all of that and building out your day. It's interesting because we've talked on that on the podcast a lot about the difference between like a true salesman and an order taker. And I mean, when you're first starting out, you do kind of have to be the order taker. You have to look for the ones that aren't going to be requiring a ton of effort or brain power on your part to sell. What's beautiful about that too is once you learn and get better, you get better at the switchover, You get better at the DIY people. Pretty soon you're going to start to be able to create more laydowns for yourself because you're sharp.
1000%. You get that a lot when rookies are like shadowing you. They're like, dude, that was a laydown. You know, and maybe if the roles were reversed for them, it wouldn't have been. So a lot of times you are creating those laydowns. And a lot of times I think that's because, one, you're good at getting their guard down, but two, you 8 mile, right? You're pre-overcoming objections before they even come up. So it's just easier to sell that person, right? And it doesn't throw you off when they're throwing that objection in your face when you already overcame it before they could. So, yeah, as long as you're hitting enough doors and decision makers, you're gonna get the hang of it eventually and start 8 miling without even knowing it and creating those laydowns.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, very importantly too, is the close. Getting good at closing, asking for the deal, asking for the order. What would you say to the rookie that's struggling in closing?
Honestly, not everyone closes the same way. And I don't think it fits everyone's style to do it one way. So I would say find that close that actually feels comfortable to you. But you, like you just said, you have to ask for that sale in some way. So whether it's a soft close or a hard close, I think there's different times that you should do it, but you have to do it. Like if you're not closing, it's very, very rare that someone's going to close themselves. So you have to ask for that sale. So even if it's as simple as, what do you say? You want to give me a shot? Like, that is still asking for the sale. It might not be as hard as most managers would want to coach them and train them to do, but it's still a start. You got to start there and build on it. So, yeah, to that person, if you're not closing, just find something you're comfortable with. And then once you get a couple sales with that close, you'll build that inner confidence to close even harder and harder. But I would say have a system too. If it's like objections, personally, I don't think closing hard is the way to go because I think that just turns them off even more. If they have objections and they're kind of like they're not about it and you're still asking for that sale in a really aggressive way, I think it turns them off more. So I think you should soft close initially. And then once you kind of get that buying temperature up, you know, start with the harder closes. And then on the other end of that, if there's a lay down and you're asking buying questions, you got to capitalize on that and close hard. Like they're showing interest, you got to close early, close hard, or they could, that buying temperature can go down and then you're starting from ground zero. So I always refer to the buying temperature scale.
Yeah. Yeah. The way I was taught, Jordan Lewis, shout out. He taught me, the close is, it's like, there are two types, obviously. One is like a light switch where it's like immediately like yes or no kind of thing. And then the best way to do it though, is it's more like a sunrise where it's gradual. You kind of don't know at what point it happened, but if your process is right, and if you're hitting all the points in your pitch, you're hitting the points in your presentation, you're soft closing throughout, the deal's done.
Yep.
And then the rookie's like, hey, that was a lay down. I could have sold it. And no, you couldn't have. You didn't hit those points, bro.
Point system.
And at that point, it's so much easier to make sales. You're getting confidence. You're getting momentum. And that's really the name of the game. What's your, because, you know, momentum is such a big part of sales. What's your maybe like momentum hack?
I think it comes back to what I was saying earlier about having that schedule that you will not sway from no matter what. Because I don't care. You can have a slow day. Maybe you have a slow 2 or 3 days. But if you stick to that schedule, and the only thing that I would sway is maybe adding more. Taking a shorter lunch, staying out a little bit later, never less. But if you stick to that, the law of averages are always going to play in your favor. But I'm a firm believer in the power of one more. So even if I'm, let's say I've gone through a neighborhood, gone through it the second time in the evening, I've hit all the doors I thought was possible. I'm going to go through one more time and just see if there's any sign of life that maybe wasn't there before. Any little thing that I can find and just get one more door. That is crazy what that does to your momentum. You hit one more door for 100 days that you normally wouldn't hit. That's 100 extra doors. it's a lot of extra DMs and potential sales you could have got, but that's very minimal, right? I shoot for 5 to 10 more doors. When I'm like, I feel like I'm done, that's when I know I need to go and hit 5 or 10 more doors. It's like, it's an internal feeling where I'm like, all right, I'm done. I've hit all these doors. I had a lot of sales today. I'm walking back to my car. It's like this inner is like, no, you have 5 to 10 more doors. Go find it. So it's that power of one more. There's a book on that. I forget who it's by, but it's
Ed
extremely.
Milet, yeah.
Yep. So that, I think those two things, having a schedule you'll never sway from, and then just the power of one more, always push yourself to do a little bit more every day.
I love that. I love that. That's absolutely powerful, because it's like what you said, cumulatively, like compound effect takes massive effect there. Because let's say you're out 120 days for the summer, you knock one more door every day, that's 120 doors. Maybe 50 DMs, decision makers, and then however many more closes come from that. That could be the difference between getting a golden door and not getting a golden door.
It literally will be for anyone that's like going for it. That's the little things that are gonna, every time you ask someone that hits a golden door, like you're always gonna see some relation to this of like, I had to push myself this much more on these days. I had to go out on a Sunday here and there, whatever it may be. It's like they had to do all those little things over a long period of time to make it actually, like you just said, compounds. All the little things, man. I don't think there's one big thing that all the Golden Door reps are doing right. They're getting all those little things done, and it just adds up so incredibly fast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Zach Seeger calls it stacking your dubs,
Yes, absolutely.
which is amazing. So, yeah, just now kind of shifting over into D2D con. This is your first D2D con, dude.
Yeah, couldn't make it 2021. I was bummed about that, but I'm stoked. Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to?
Dude, all the speakers and all the just studs that I get to meet, and just seeing everyone that won this summer, man, and be able to pick people's brains and just learn more, because I'm a firm believer there's always room for growth. You can never be at your best, bro. So I'm just hungry to learn and grow, and also, give anybody else some of my tips and tricks that might help them. So yeah, I just love seeing everyone elevate and level up, bro. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's the most beautiful, abundant mindset. And it's been so fun talking to all the Golden Door winners, because they're just so willing to share their tips and tricks. They're so willing. Everyone's an open book. And it's like, whether you're in solar, whether you're in alarms, gosh, there's so many principles you can learn from a pest guy. Talk about work ethic, talk about goal setting, talk about, things set in a set time frame. Guys, I love solar with all my heart. But sometimes we get lazy in solar, because it's like, 10 days on, 10 days off, and like we don't knock all the hours. We wait for leads to come in. It's like, gosh, if you took a pest control work ethic and put it into solar, you guys would do a lot better. So
I just
how's your
got
DDG come?
that just gave me exactly hearing you say some of those things, like taking 10 days off, never, bro. I can never ever do that. Like, it's, yeah, like you said earlier, like I was just emphasizing, it's all the little things, and you cannot sway at any point. Our 5 months is, it's insane, those 5 months. Like, you have to be all in, or you're
It's
not gonna,
sacred.
yeah, it's sacred.
And it's really cool. And the thing is, it's not that that kind of solar model doesn't work, but obviously it's like, guys, come pick the brains of these guys, pest guys. You could learn a ton from the solar guys. It's funny, like talking to guys, I'm like, so pest control guy, do you know who like Mike O'Donnell is? Who's like one of the number one solar guys in the whole world? And they're like, no. I'm like, dude, you could learn so much from him.
Absolutely.
And it's so cool to bring everyone together, take the jerseys off, coming into D2D Con. It's going to be amazing. January 25th through the 27th. Come meet Connor. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a good time. So Connor, before I let you go, man, any like parting words for the industry?
Well, dude, just everyone keep grinding, man. And like, even if you didn't have the summer you wanted, especially this is your first year, don't give up. Like, I promise you, all it takes is that one, two, three things to start clicking for you, and then you're gonna explode, man. And obviously, I'm a bit of an anomaly, just blowing up my first year and doing great. But it's because I did all those little things right, to be honest. It had nothing to do with my pitch. I think my pitch was pretty shaky when I first started, but I just had the routine and the schedule and the numbers playing in my favor. And then once the pitch clicked, that's when I really started capitalizing. So yeah, don't give up, man. There's always room to grow, and you just gotta wait for that thing to click. But then another thing we didn't even talk about, I would say, is, in my opinion, I think keeping your pitch concise is gonna be a little bit better. I've noticed a lot of people get really wordy and really descriptive, especially when they're getting objections. And what I think that portrays is like you're coming off defensive, right? If you're in an argument with somebody and you're just rambling on and defending yourself, that usually shows some sort of like guilt, or maybe you're wrong in that situation. Similar to this, like you just want to get to the point, be concise, and get it out, because you can talk yourself out of a sale. Like I see it happen every single day. So get those main points out, be concise. But what that also does for you, it allows you to hit more decision makers, more doors, and more sales. Don't waste your time with the wrong people. Don't spend too much time on your pitch, because again, that can drain your mental energy right there. There's nothing worse, and I know you know this. You spend 15, 20 minutes with somebody and you're just giving them this fire pitch, and they don't buy. Or even worse than that, they sign up and then they cancel. I think that is who I see it with the most, the people you have to go to town on. You're just battling back and forth. It feels good when you get the sale, but it either doesn't go through or they just don't retain. So that's something we didn't talk about much on, I'm really passionate about, is spending your time with the right people, qualifying, and just being really concise with your pitch. It allows you to capitalize on the numbers game and just not lose motivation when all that hard work doesn't pan out to what you want it to be. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're kind of in the age where we're in like the transparency age. So it's like people just want the meat and potatoes. They want you to get to the point. They don't want this whole like whammy dammy dance around, like, oh, I'll like, 3 feet from the, and we'll swipe the eaves. It's like, I mean, that stuff's great too, but keep in mind, it's like, a lot of the times it just comes down to like that authenticity piece of it and how like basically how you can communicate that as like effectively as possible right from the get-go, where you can kind of look at the customer honestly and be like, honestly, is this something that like honestly, let's do this. Like, you know what I mean?
Just got a point, man. And one thing that helped me realize this early on is I try to put myself in the customer's shoes. And I'm like, if someone knocked on my door in the middle of the day, I wasn't expecting them, maybe I was working, like, do I want to have a full-blown conversation with them? No. I want them to tell me why the hell they're there, what they're doing, and how it's going to benefit me as quickly as they can. And a lot of people are nice and won't tell you to shoot, or maybe they will, but most people are kind of hear you out just to be nice, all when they know the whole time they're going to say no. So I think you might as well get to that point as quickly as you can. Get to that decision-making process. Don't beat around the bush. So I'm a point A to point B as quick as I can type of guy, with my pitch, but also to the next door, the next decision maker. Like everything is just, it's always numbers, man. So don't waste your time on the wrong people. Qualify as quickly as you can, but still get out those key points that you need to get out. I'm not saying like just tell them, hey, it's pest control. You want to sign up? That's obviously not effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because again, it's the whole process. It's dialing in all those points so that it's not just a push off the cliff. It's that sunrise, but also, never be afraid to ask for the order. Go through the process, get to the heart of the issue. Don't beat around the bush. I love that a ton. I think a lot of people do struggle with that. It's funny because it's like I feel like that was kind of like the approach back like 6 years ago. You know what I mean? That was the whole like, you wanted to build all this rapport and then all this thing. And unfortunately, like, well, not unfortunately, but it's just like times change. People change. The buyer changes. We gotta adapt.
Yep. And I want to emphasize on one thing you just said right there, is asking for the sale every time. Like I don't care what the objection is and how bizarre. Like, we've heard it all, right? Like, you in pest control, people will hear, "Oh, I like the bugs. Oh, I eat the bugs." Like, you'll hear everything. Regardless of what I hear, I'm gonna ask for that sale. Doesn't matter. They could tell me they own a whole pest control company. They're the CEO of a pest control company. I'm still gonna close them. Cool. I'm here anyways. I'm working with Dave. If I can do everything for $29 today, I'm sure you don't want to work at your own house, right? You want to give me a shot? Like, I don't care what it is, I'm gonna close them at least once. Because if you do that on every single door, that's a lot of decision makers and a lot of closes, and you're gonna get sales from it. I can't tell you how many times I get a sale that was just like, how did I even get that? That was the most bizarre thing in the world. And it's only because I was just ballsy and closed them anyways. A lot of people will sometimes buy just out of respect for you closing them because of how hard they were being on you. So just don't be scared to close, dude. Do it on everybody. It's more awkward if you don't close, because then it's like, why are you here, dude?
Dude, that's a huge nugget. It's more awkward if you don't close. Well, yeah, can you imagine? It's just like you're chilling on your couch, you're watching Netflix or whatever, and then some dude w knocks on your door talking about pest control. You're like, okay, like you're not in your head, you're kind of giving pushback, and then he just walks away. You're gonna be like, what the hell was that? That was so weird. Who was this guy? I'm gonna post about him in the neighborhood Facebook page. Like, this is creepy. Like, he's just sitting on the curb. You know what I mean? Do your freaking job. And that's closing.
Be a salesman, man. You just have to. But we always say you got to be a messenger first, a salesman after. Don't stay the messenger. Otherwise, that's all you're going to be doing is giving messages and not closing a single thing, and all that breath and time that you're wasting is for nothing. We're out here to make money. We're out here to close deals. Like, don't shoot yourself in the foot by only being a messenger. But also on the other end, don't be just a closer. Then you're just gonna come off as a shark, and nobody wants to buy from a shark.
Amen. Amen. What a great place to end the podcast. So everyone, come hang out with me and Connor, January 25th through the 27th in Salt Lake City, DDD Con. This has been the Golden Door Deep Dive segment. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. We'll tune in next time.